The Daughter of Albion, Anton Chekhov. A fine carriage with rubber tires, a fat coachman, and velvet on the seats rolled up to the house of a landowner called Griabov. Fyodor Andreyich Otsov, the district marshal of nobility, jumped out of the carriage. A drowsy footman met him in the hall. "Are the family at home?" asked the marshal. "No, sir. The mistress and the children are gone out paying visits, while the master and mademoiselle are catching fish. Fishing all the morning, sir." Otsov stood a little, thought a little, and then went to the river to look for Griabov. Going down to the river, he found him a mile and a half from the house. Looking down from the steep bank and catching sight of Griabov, Otsov gushed with laughter. Griabov, a large, stout man with a very big head, was sitting on the sand, angling, with his legs tucked under him like a Turk. His hat was on the back of his head, and his cravat had slipped on one side. Beside him stood a tall, thin English woman, with prominent eyes like a crab's, and a big bird-like nose, more like a hook than a nose. She was dressed in a white muslin gown through which her scraggy yellow shoulders were very distinctly apparent. On her gold belt hung a little gold watch. She too was angling. The stillness of the grave reigned about them both. Both were motionless, as the river upon which their floats were swimming. "A desperate passion, but deadly dull," laughed Otsov. "Good day, Ivan Kuzmich." "Ah, is that you?" asked Griabov, not taking his eyes off the water. "Have you come?" "As you see." "And you're still taken up with your crazy nonsense. Not given it up yet?" "The devil's in it. I begin in the morning and fish all day. The fishing's not up to much today. I've caught nothing, and this dummy hasn't either. We sit on, and not a devil of a fish. I could scream." "Well, chuck it up, then. Let's go and have some vodka." "Wait a little. Maybe we shall catch something. Towards evening, the fish bite better. I've been sitting here, my boy, ever since the morning. I can't tell you how fearfully boring it is. It was the devil drove me to take to this fishing. I know that's rotten idiocy for me to sit here. I sit here like some scoundrel, like a convict, and I stare at the water like a fool. I ought to do some haymaking, but here I sit catching fish. Yesterday, His Holiness held a service of Hapanyovo, but I didn't go. I spent the day here with this she-devil." "But have you taken leave of your senses?" asked Otsov, glancing in embarrassment at the Englishwoman. "Using such language before a lady, and she—" "Oh, confound her, it doesn't matter. She doesn't understand a syllable of Russian, whether you praise her or blame her. It's all the same to her. Just look at her nose. Her nose alone is enough to make one faint. We sit here for whole days together, and not a single word. She stands like a stuffed image and rolls the whites of her eyes at the water." The Englishwoman gave a yawn, and put a new worm on, and dropped the hook into the water. "I wonder at her not a little," Griabov went on. "The great stupid has been living in Russia for 10 years, and not a word of Russian. Any little aristocrat among us goes to them and learns to babble away in their lingo, while there's no making them out. Just look at her nose. Do, look at her nose." "Come, drop it. It's uncomfortable. Why attack a woman?" "She's not a woman, but a maiden lady. I bet she's dreaming of suitors, the ugly doll. And she smells of something decaying. I've got a loathing for her, my boy. I can't look at her with indifference. When she turns her ugly eyes on me, it sends a twinge all through me as though I'd knocked my elbow on the parapet. She likes fishing, too. Watch her. She fishes as though it were a holy rite. She looks upon everything with disdain. She stands there, the wretch, and is conscious that she's a human being and that therefore she's the monarch of nature. And do you know what her name is? Wilka Charlizovna Feiss. Tfu! There's no getting it out. The Englishwoman, hearing her name, deliberately turned her nose in Gryaboff's direction and scanned him with a disdainful grimace. She raised her eyes from Gryaboff to Otsov and steeped him in disdain. And all this in silence, with dignity and deliberation. "Did you see?" said Gryaboff, chuckling, as though to say, "Take that! Ah, you monster! It's only for the children's sake that I keep that Triton. If it weren't for the children, I wouldn't let her come within 10 miles of my estate. She's got a nose like a hawk's, and her figure. That doll makes me think of a long nail, so I could take her and knock her into the ground, you know. Stay, I believe I've got a bite." Gryaboff jumped up and raised his rod. The line drew taut. Gryaboff tugged again, but couldn't pull out the hook. "It's caught," he said, frowning. "On a stone, I expect. Damnation take it." There was a look of distress on Gryaboff's face. Sighing, moving uneasily, and muttering oaths, he began tugging at the line. "What a pity! I shall have to go into the water."
"Oh, chuck it."
"I can't. There's always good fishing in the evening. What a nuisance. Lord forgive us, I shall have to wade into the water. I must. And if only you knew, I have no inclination to undress. I shall have to get rid of the Englishwoman. It's awkward to undress before her. After all, she is a lady, you know." Gryaboff flung off his hat and his cravat. He said, addressing the Englishwoman. "Miss Feiss? Je vous prie. Well, what am I to say to her? How am I to tell her so that you can understand? I say over there, go away over there. Do you hear?" Miss Feiss enveloped Gryaboff in disdain and uttered a nasal sound. "What? Don't you understand? Go away here, I tell you. I must undress, you devil's doll. Go over there. Over there." Gryaboff pulled the lady by her sleeve, pointed her toward the bushes, and made as though he would sit down, as much as to say, "Go behind the bushes and hide yourself there." The Englishwoman, moving her eyebrows vigorously, uttered rapidly a long sentence in English. The gentleman gushed with laughter. "It's the first time in my life I've heard her voice. There's no denying it is a voice. She doesn't understand. Well, what am I to do with her?" "Chuck it. Let's go and have a drink of vodka." "I can't. Now's the time to fish. The evening. It's evening. Come, what would you have me do? It's a nuisance. I shall have to undress before her." Gryaboff flung off his coat and his waistcoat and sat on the sand to take off his boots. "I say, Ivan Kuzmich," said the marshal, chuckling behind his hand, "it's really outrageous, an insult. Nobody asks her not to understand. It's a lesson for these foreigners." Gryaboff took off his boots and his trousers, flung off his undergarments, and remained in the costume of Adam. Otsov held his sides. He turned crimson both from laughter and embarrassment. The Englishwoman twitched her brows and blinked. A haughty, disdainful smile passed over her yellow face. "I must cool off," said Gryaboff, slapping himself on the ribs. "Tell me, if you please, Fyodor Andreyitch, why I have a rash on my chest every summer." "Oh, do get into the water quickly or cover yourself with something, you beast." "And if only she were confused, the nasty thing," said Gryaboff, crossing himself as he waded into the water. "Brr, it's cold in here. Look how she moves her eyebrows. She doesn't go away. She's far above the crowd. And she doesn't reckon us as human beings." Wading knee-deep in the water and drawing his huge figure up to its full height, he gave a wink and said, "This isn't England, you see." Miss Feiss coolly put on another worm, gave a yawn, and dropped the hook in. Otsov turned away. Gryaboff released his hook, ducked into the water, and, spluttering, waded out. 2 minutes later, he was sitting on the sand and angling as before.